Be here. Want to greet each one in Jesus' name this morning, too. It's such a special privilege to have this blessing for Greta this morning. Such a privilege to see her here healthy and well and beautiful. Had to think of the verse that the primary class shared. It's one of the big understatements of the Bible where it says, "Then were the disciples glad when they saw the Lord." You know, can you imagine how understated that was when they had last seen Jesus crucified and hope was gone that he was going to be their Savior, their Messiah, their person that was going to lead them out of Roman rule and to another nation. And the writer saw fit to say that then were the disciples glad when they saw the Lord. I think it's one of the big understatements of the scripture. And you can write that in. All right, this morning I'd like to, everybody loves spring, I think. And probably all of us have a list. Maybe some of us have a list. Not all of us do, but some of us would have a list of the things that are most important to do. And as the list gets, as time goes on, probably some things get crossed out. But this morning, I want to think about what is the most important thing. If you will, turn your Bibles to Mark chapter 12. And here we have the this chapter is full of different things. The first part starts with the parable of the vineyard, when Jesus had told the story about a man preparing a vineyard, making a place for the wine fat, and then after a time sent messengers there to receive fruit of that, and how that they beat them and killed them. And finally, he sent his son and said, "They will reverence my son." And instead, they said, "Let's kill him, and then we will have the inheritance." And the Jews, the chief priests and scribes, they understood that that parable was spoken against them. And then they tried to trap Jesus in his words. And this is the last, we're talking about in the last week of Jesus' life. He had given a lot of teaching there. And so he was subjected to a number of questions that they had for him. And I'd like to just break into the chapter at verse 28. And start reading there. Mark 12, verse 28. "And one of the scribes came, and having heard them reasoning together and perceiving that he had answered them well, asked him, 'Which is the first commandment of all?'" I'd like to have that, think about that as a title this morning. Which is the first commandment of all? "Jesus answering him said, 'The first of all commandments is, Hear, O Israel, the Lord our God is one Lord, and thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thy heart, with all thy soul, with all thy mind, with all thy strength. This is the first commandment. And the second is like, namely this, thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself. There is none other commandment greater than these.' And the scribe said unto him, 'Well, master, thou hast said the truth, for there is one God, and there is none other but he. And to love him with all the heart, with all the understanding, with all the soul, and with all the strength, and to love his neighbor as himself, is more than all whole burnt offerings and sacrifices. And when Jesus saw that he answered discreetly, he said unto him, Thou art not far from the kingdom of God. And no man after that durst ask him any question." Which is the first commandment of all? You know, if we look back at the Ten Commandments, which maybe the scribe was thinking about, the first commandment was there thou shalt have no other gods before me. And then it says, thou shalt not make unto thee any graven image, and so on. It didn't really say anything about loving the Lord with all your heart. The tables of stone didn't. But Jesus pulled these verses from Deuteronomy 6, where it was there. Deuteronomy 6, verse 4, it says, Hear, O Israel, the Lord our God is one Lord, and thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thy heart, with all thy soul, and with all thy might. These things I command thee this day, then it shall be in thine heart. So Jesus quoted almost exactly from Deuteronomy when he answered this question. And so they had the word. They had the word, but he wanted to know what it means. And so that's what we'd like to look at this morning. You know, I'm so impressed with this man, the fact that he said, Well, Master, thou hast said the truth, and to do, to love the Lord and to love your neighbor with all your heart is more than all whole burnt offerings and sacrifice. That was quite a statement that he made. And then Jesus' response to him was that you are not far from the kingdom of God. And that's both encouraging and disheartening at the same time, because being close, is that going to be good enough? Just being near to the kingdom of God, will that be good enough for you? I want to be inside. I want to be well inside. Appreciate so much the thoughts that were given this morning on knowing the will of God and following him. So I'd like to think about that. First of all, we see that love is a motivator, and we know that God loves us. The old familiar verse, and again, this is so, it's inspirational to me, because many times Jesus said the most important things to a big crowd or to his disciples or to a multitude. But in this case, he said this very important thing to just one man. And that's in John 3:16, where he says, For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. That tells us that God loves us. And then it says that we are to love God. And because God loves us, he cares for us. Matthew 6, verse 25. Therefore I say unto you, take no thought for your life, what you shall eat or what you shall drink, nor yet for your body, what you shall put on. Is not the life more than meat, and the body more than raiment? Behold the fowls of the air, they sow not, neither do they reap, nor gather into barns. Yet your heavenly Father feedeth them. Are ye not much better than they? Which of you, by taking thought, can add one cubit unto his stature? And why take ye thought for raiment? Consider the lilies of the field, how they grow. They toil not, neither do they spin. And yet I say unto you that Solomon in all his glory was not arrayed like one of these. Wherefore, if God so clothe the grass of the field, which today is and tomorrow is cast into the oven, shall he not much more clothe you, O ye of little faith? Therefore take no thought, saying, What shall we eat, or what shall we drink? Or wherewithal shall we be clothed? For after all these things do the Gentiles seek. For your heavenly Father knoweth that ye have need of all these things. But seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things shall be added unto you. Take no thought, therefore, for the morrow shall take thought for the things of itself. Sufficient unto the day is the evil thereof. Those are quite some words that Jesus shared in the Sermon on the Mount when he talked about how that God cares for us. We know that God loved the world. We know that he cares for his people. And God wants everyone to know how much he loves them. John 17:23, I in them, and thou in me, that they may be made perfect in one, that the world may know that thou hast sent me and hast loved them as thou hast loved me. He wants even those that hate him to love him. Matthew 5:43, it says, ye have heard that it hath been said, thou shalt love thy neighbor and hate thine enemy. But I say unto you, love your enemies, bless them that curse you, do good to them that hate you, and pray for them which despitefully use you and persecute you, that ye may be the children of your Father which is in heaven. For he maketh his sun to rise on the evil and on the good, and sendeth rain on the just and on the unjust. For if ye love them which love you, what reward have ye? Do not even the publicans the same? And if ye salute your brethren only, what do you do more than others? Do not even the publicans so? Be ye therefore perfect, even as your Father which is in heaven is perfect. In Luke 6, verse 35, it says, love your enemies, do good, lend, hope for nothing again, and your reward shall be great, and ye shall be the children of the highest, for he is kind unto the thankful, to the unthankful, and to the evil. Mark has shared with us this morning that one of the things of the will of God is to be thankful. Everybody, and that is a huge thing. A grateful heart is a beautiful thing in God's sight. And yet, here it says that he is kind to the unthankful. His love is underestimated, and it's just amazing. He seeks those who are away and lost. And in Luke chapter 15, we have a number of stories. Of course, the lost sheep, and how that Christ, or the shepherd, which is Christ, he leaves the 99 and goes after the one. He seeks him out. In the story of the prodigal son, the father is the one that's waiting. He is the one that's waiting and watching for the return, having confidence that maybe he will. I don't know. It doesn't say that. But he is watching, and he sees him from afar and runs to meet him. He seeks for the coin that is lost. And again, these are not coins. These are all, and it's not talking about coins and sheep. It's referencing people. He seeks those that are lost. To know the love of God is that he must have first place. It must be the first thing in our, first place in our heart. Jesus again says in Matthew 10:37, he that loveth father or mother more than me is not worthy of me. And he that loveth son or daughter more than me is not worthy of me. And he that taketh not his cross and followeth after me is not worthy of me. So when Jesus was telling the scribe there that to love the Lord with all your heart, with all your soul, with all your strength, with all your mind, all of these bases are covered. It's not just a simple handing them a Valentine and saying, I love you, and that's it. But it's a life-changing and a life direction that he's looking for. We show love by our obedience. In John 14, verse 21, he that hath my commandments and keepeth them, he it is that loveth me. And he that loveth me shall be loved of my Father, and I will love him and will manifest myself to him. If ye keep my commandments, ye shall abide in my love, even as I have kept my Father's commandments and abide in his love. I think that's probably one of the more significant ways that is definitely a proof. God also tells us that he loves his son, and John references many things about love, but in John 5, verse 20, it says, "For the Father loveth the Son, and showeth him all things that he doeth. Therefore doth my Father love me, because I lay down my life, that I may take it again." Direct references to God loving the Son, and then it says that that love is returned, John 14, verse 31. "But that the world may know that I love the Father, and as the Father gave me commandment, even so I do." And Jesus is talking about that love being returned, and he is doing his Father's will. It also says that those that refuse Jesus do not have God's love in his heart. "I receive not honor from men," Jesus says, "but I know you, that ye have not the love of God in you. But I am come in my Father's name, and ye receive me not. If another shall come in his own name, him ye will receive. How can ye, which believe, receive honor from one another, and seek not the honor which cometh from God only? Do not think I will accuse you to the Father, for there is one accuseth you, even Moses, in whom ye trust. For if ye had believed Moses, ye would have believed me, for he wrote of me. But if ye believe not his writings, how can ye believe my words?" So those Jews that think they love God, those that thought that they were following God, as they rejected Jesus, they also rejected the Father. And then Jesus goes on to say that he loves us even as God loves his Son. "As the Father hath loved me," John 15, verse 9. "As the Father hath loved me, so have I loved you. Continue ye in my love." Can we imagine the depth that he's speaking of here? We can say God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish but have everlasting life. But those are words that hold real weight and meaning. And then we know that different times in Scripture how that God shows his love for his Son. "This is my beloved Son, in whom I am well pleased. Hear ye him," the Mount of Transfiguration. And then Jesus is saying, "As the Father hath loved me, so have I loved you. Continue ye in my love." And then, of course, Jesus proved his love by what he did, by giving his life. John 3, verses 14 and 15. "As Moses lifted up the serpent in the wilderness, even so must the Son of Man be lifted up, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. Greater love hath no man than this, that a man lay down his life for his friends. And ye are my friends, if ye do whatsoever I command you." Loving the Lord with all your heart, with all your soul, with all your strength, it's much more than just a short sentence. And then finally, the love between God and Jesus is an example of how we are to love one another. John 17, verse 21. "That they all may be one, as thou, Father, art in me, and I in thee. That they also may be one in us, that the world may believe that thou hast sent me. And the glory which thou gavest me, I have given them, that they may be one, even as we are one, I in them, and thou in me. That the world may know that thou hast sent me and hast loved them as thou hast loved me. Father, I will that they also, whom thou hast given me, be with me where I am, that they may behold thy glory which thou hast given me, for thou lovest me before the foundation of the world. O righteous Father, the world hath not known thee, but I have known thee, and these have known that thou hast sent me, and I have declared unto them thy name, and will declare it, and the love wherein thou hast loved me may be in them, and I in them." I think those words in John 17, commonly known as the high priestly prayer, are so, they're just so powerful, because It touches the very core of our life with God, with each other, and it's so important. And then we are to demonstrate that love one to another. A new commandment I give you, that ye love one another as I have loved you, that ye also love one another. And by this shall all men know that ye are my disciples, if ye have love one to another. Jesus wants, he loves each individual, and he wants that love to be extended to all. He's in John chapter 10, he talks about himself as being the good shepherd. And the good shepherd giveth his life for the sheep. That he is an hireling, not the shepherd, whose own the sheep are not, seeth the wolf coming and leaveth the sheep and fleeth, and the wolf catcheth them and scattereth the sheep. The hireling fleeth because he is an hireling and careth not for the sheep. I am the good shepherd and know my sheep and am known of mine. As the Father knoweth me, even so know I the Father, and I lay down my life for the sheep. Other sheep I have, which are not of this fold. Them also I must bring, and they shall hear my voice, and there shall be one fold and one shepherd. Therefore doth my Father love me, because I lay down my life, that I may take it again. I just am impressed again with the way that Jesus extends his love to every individual. It's not just a group, not just a nation, but it's to each individual. And then he wants his love, our love, to be genuine. I mean, I love this. It's interesting to look at the story of Jesus when he meets Peter on the lake shore after the resurrection, and they had their bread and their fish, and they had eaten. And in chapter 21, verse 15. So when they had dined, Jesus saith to Simon Peter, Simon, son of Jonas, lovest thou me more than these? He saith unto him, Yea, Lord, thou knowest that I love thee. He saith unto him, Feed my lambs. He saith to him again the second time, Simon, son of Jonas, lovest thou me? He saith unto him, Yea, Lord, thou knowest that I love thee. He saith unto him, Feed my sheep. He saith unto him the third time, Simon, son of Jonas, lovest thou me? It says, Peter was grieved because he said to him the third time, Lovest thou me? And he said unto him, Lord, thou knowest all things. Thou knowest that I love thee. And Jesus said, Feed my sheep. I think there's a number of reasons why Jesus tested him three times or asked him three different times. But I think the most important one was that he wanted Peter to think about what he was saying, and that his love for him would be more than just words, but it was actions. And I really think that Peter fulfilled that as well in his life, in his letters that he wrote, and the teachings. He proved his love for the Lord in what he did. Now going back again to chapter 12, we read the most important, which is the first commandment of all. The other questions are really interesting too, and Jesus didn't fall into the trap of answering those things the way that they thought he might. But the last part of that chapter, he talks about the poor widow giving all that she had. I guess I'll have to turn to that. I don't have that written down. In verse 40, verse 41. And Jesus sat over against the treasury, and beheld how people cast money into the treasury, and many that were rich cast in much. And there came a certain poor widow, and she threw in 2 mites, which make a farthing. And he called unto him his disciples, and saith unto them, Verily I say unto you, that this poor widow hath cast more in than all they that have cast into the treasury. For all they did cast in of their abundance, but she of her want did cast in all that she had, even all her living. The amount that Jesus saw going into the treasury wasn't exactly what he was looking at, but he was looking at the motives. And that's the entire part of the gospel, is that it deals with motives. And that's going to produce the right kind of action. This woman that he remarked gave more. It wasn't much, but it was all. And that to Jesus was the most important. So his sense of values and his line of thinking is probably different than what most people have, but it's what we need to align ourselves with and think like he does. And then after all of this teaching, they are in the temple, and he says in verse 1 of chapter 13, and as he went out of the temple, one of the disciples saith unto him, Master, see what manner of stones and what buildings are here. Jesus answering said unto him, Seest thou these great buildings? There shall not be left one stone upon another that shall not be thrown down. I think it's interesting that he comes into this right after this big discussion, answering all these questions. He says this temple that they are was an icon of Jewish identity. That he says that this is going to be thrown down and not one stone is going to be left upon another. In just a few days, the veil of the temple was going to be rent from top to bottom. Or it was going to be rent and separating the Holy of Holies from the commonplace. That was going to happen in just a few days at his crucifixion. But then 40 years later, the temple was going to be taken apart stone by stone to just like he said. It's powerful to think that the temple was the identity that they had with God. When Solomon built it and dedicated it, he had a beautiful prayer there that is powerful, and God's presence came and filled the temple. And now, the promise was that as long as they were faithful to him, that they could enjoy that prosperity. But years passed and they became unfaithful and the temple was destroyed. The temple was first built in 1000 B.C. The temple was destroyed in 586 B.C., so more than 400 years it stood. And then it was totally destroyed. And then it was rebuilt again a number of years later. And then not many years before Christ, 37 B.C., evidently Herod rebuilt that temple. And this is what the disciples were marveling at. And Jesus is saying, this is going to pass. This magnificent building, this icon of Jewish identity, was not the most important thing. The most important thing was to love the Lord with all our heart and to love our neighbor as ourselves. And that he made very clear. And so it's so interesting to see how that Jesus didn't didn't tell them what they wanted to hear. He didn't tell them what they what the things that were easy to speak, but he told them of the tough times that were coming, of the difficulties that they were going to be. But he said, hold to the end. In verse 13 it says, he that shall endure to the end, the same shall be saved. And so knowing the first things, what is most important is the first thing. And then enduring to the end is going to be the most important thing. And so love the Lord with all our heart. Love our neighbor as ourself. Can't be overstated. It is so important. That is first. Let's bow our heads for prayer.